Crime Alert, I'm Nancy Grace, breaking crime news now. We are in a verdict watch as we wait for the Sean Combs jury to hand down a verdict. Our Nicole Parton, keeping an eye on the courtroom. Nicole?
Nancy, today's the day we wait for the jury to enter the courthouse to begin deliberation. But according to the closing arguments, it wasn't a case of sex trafficking. Rather, it was portrayed by Sean Diddy Combs' legal team as, quote, one of the great modern love stories. In their closing arguments presented to the jury on Friday, Combs' attorneys attempted to frame the troubling allegations of violence, drugs, and orchestrated sexual encounters as a reflection of a complicated yet passionate relationship. Following weeks of testimonies detailing how Combs allegedly coerced women, including his long-term girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, into sexual acts with male escorts through intimidation and substance abuse, defense attorney Mark Agnifilo emphasized the depth of Combs and Ventura's connection, marred only by jealousy and infidelity, he said. The crux of the federal prosecution's case revolves around Combs' relationships with Ventura and a woman identified as Jane. Prosecutors contend that Combs romantically manipulated the women, pressuring them into prolonged sexual gatherings known as freak-offs or hotel nights, and then resorting to threats to silence them about his voyeuristic behavior. After a lengthy five-hour summary from the prosecution on Thursday, Agnifilo fired back with a four-hour rebuttal, which included moments of mocking the prosecution's arguments, suggesting that law enforcement had unjustly targeted Combs for his private sex life. Thank goodness for the special response team, he said. They discovered the baby oil and Astroglide, Agnifilo mocked, alluding to the numerous lubricants allegedly found at Combs' residence. The only real crime here is in your personal sex life, he said. He went on to maintain that Combs is innocent of the charges against him, which include running a criminal enterprise tied to his sexual desires, asserting that all sexual interactions were consensual. If convicted on all counts, Combs could face a life sentence. The jury, consisting of 8 men and 4 women, is expected to begin deliberations today after receiving instructions from the presiding judge regarding the charges and how to interpret the evidence presented since mid-May. After hours of defense arguments, prosecutor Maureen Comey addressed the jury, criticizing the defense's implication that the women wanted it and urging jurors to reject such logic. Quote, what we're discussing is a dark hotel room, being awake for days, covered in oil, often suffering from a urinary tract infection, in heels, with sore pelvic areas, engaging in sex for hours, including with strangers, Comey stated. The defense would have you believe that Cassie and Jane wanted this. That's absurd, she concluded. Comey asserted that jurors needed to find at least one instance where Combs knowingly used force, fraud, or coercion to gain compliance from either Ventura or Jane to convict him of sex trafficking. The defendant never anticipated that the women he mistreated would find the courage to speak out, she concluded. For 2 decades, he evaded accountability for his actions, but that ends here in this courtroom. So here we go. It's now in the hands of the jury. Nancy, we will stay on top of this and wait for the jury's verdict.
Thanks, Nicole. More crime and justice news after this.
A shooting at a restaurant in Myrtle Beach has resulted in one fatality and another individual sustaining injuries. Authorities have apprehended a suspect linked to the incident. During a press briefing on Saturday, the Myrtle Beach Police Department identified the alleged shooter as 17-year-old Ebony McCray, who will face charges as an adult. Officers responded to the scene at Peach's Corner, located in the 900 block of North Ocean Boulevard, around 11:15 p.m. on Friday, following reports of gunfire. Preliminary investigations indicate that the shooting was preceded by a confrontation between a restaurant employee and another patron. Police, who were already patrolling the area, arrived promptly on the scene. One victim was transported to the hospital with injuries that are not life-threatening, while the second victim was pronounced dead from their wounds. The identities of the victims have not yet been disclosed. Myrtle Beach Police Chief Amy Prock addressed the residents of the area and local leaders leaders emphasizing the need to confront violence. We must concentrate on the issues of violence and ensure we are addressing it effectively within the community, she said. It's crucial that we work together with our legislators to tackle these challenges, she said. Zion Atkinson, a visitor from West Virginia, recounted the moment when he heard the shots ring out. He said people began to run in every direction. A tourist from Vermont expressed her concerns for her grandchildren. I felt very unsafe in this moment. Up till now, Myrtle Beach has always been a safe vacation spot. But in this moment of violence, we ran. During the press conference, police officials also discussed the existing curfew ordinance for minors and the potential for revisions. We are currently reassessing the situation, said the sheriff. The investigation is ongoing, and authorities are urging anyone with photographs or video footage of the incident to reach out at 843-918-1382.
Neighbors call Carroll County, Georgia cops after hearing a gunshot from Jeremy Talbert's home. Inside, cops find Talbert shot himself. When they inform the family, cops discover Talbert has an ex-wife, Samantha, who hasn't been seen or heard of in nearly 2 weeks. The couple had a history of domestic violence, but Samantha's truck was parked in Talbert's driveway. Samantha's daughter says she last spoke with mom Feb 25. Cops find Samantha's phone was shut off not long after that call and no activity on bank accounts since. Samantha Talbert, 5'4", shoulder-length blonde hair, missing nearly a month. If you have info on Samantha Talbert, call Carroll County, Georgia Sheriffs, 770-830-5916.
For the latest crime and justice news, go to crimeonline.com. And please join us for our daily podcast, Crime Stories, where we do our best to find missing people, especially children, and help solve unsolved homicides. With this crime alert, I'm Nancy Grace. This is an iHeart podcast, guaranteed human.